This research was part of my master's thesis work at Purdue and as part of a collaboration with Dow AgroSciences. And how do I start this show here, Rima? Oh, I got it. Okay, today I'm going to talk about predicted QTL locations for Fusarium ear rot resistance in maize and the generation of improved FER resistant maize inbred lines. Kind of your standard QTL search or QTL identification with kind of a little twist on it. First, I'd like to talk about the F. verticillioides pathogen itself. It's a fungal pathogen of maize that results in a harmful buildup of mycotoxins called fumonisins. I think if anybody's researched these pathogens are aware that these are very deadly pathogens or the actual fumonisins are deadly. So it can be transmitted by intracellular means and by airborne conidia. So it can be transmitted by several different ways. And due to that, it can be affected by a lot of environmental factors such as temperature, humidity, even like the weed pressure, the weeds that are present. And so with all that being considered, resistance is highly quantitative. I think that's very well documented. The thesis objectives was to predict QTL regions associated with Fusarium ear rot and create an inbred line with increased FER resistance while maintaining hybrid yield performance. So not only was it to get a QTL predicted out of these populations, but we also wanted to hopefully extract a commercial inbred at the same time. So with that, when we created our RIL populations, we worked in the non-stiff stock background. We chose NV14 FR as our FER resistant donor, and then we chose NV14 as our susceptible parent. Now, you can see right here, this is a lot different than any QTL mapping population. We only have 7 polymorphic markers remaining between the two parents. And the advantage to that is basically we fixed our genotype for those RILs with only those 7 polymorphic markers remaining. We also had a second population, which was the NV35 susceptible parent. It's a little better mapping population, but wouldn't be the best mapping population for this trait because it is still in the same maize heterotic group. So, but it did provide us with a little bit better mapping population than the first one. So in this slide, we're just showing you basically our pathogen here and the effects that we see on the ears, the visual presence when it has infested the ears. So there's our donor on the right and then our susceptible line on the left. And again, there's only 7 polymorphic markers between these two. So real quick, the materials and methods. We had a natural FER inoculation in Molokai, and then we had a manual inoculation in Fowler, Indiana. We delivered 5 milliliters of inoculum to each ear at Fowler, Indiana, via the silk channel, 14 days post-anthesis. We scored F2 and F3 ears on a 1-9 scale for visual percent of kernels infected per ear. So 9 represented basically a clean ear, the ears you've seen on the right there in the previous slide, and then a 1 was basically a poor score, it was completely infected. Leaf tissue samples were collected on the F2 plants for DNA amplification and SSR marker screening. The SSR marker data was collected using the ABI PRISM 3730XL sequencer and GeneMapper 4.0 software. I think most people are familiar with these that have run marker studies or aware of some of the data output. The marker data was then matched to the FER scores for the F2 ears and the F2 3-year families. So, and with that, we'll get into the data here. We also employed a method of selective genotyping of the tail regions or something similar to a bulk segregate or segregate analysis. And during this type of analysis, you're basically looking in the tail regions of your data. So we basically looked at the 5% most susceptible and the 5% most resistant in our tail region. And in the selective genotyping, we actually did genotype each individual instead of bulking our samples together. So this allowed us basically to kind of dive into the data a little bit deeper and in more detail. And with those populations, we kind of, in theory, we figured we would have basically some escapes within our bulk there. So we wanted to genotype each individual. Again, I laid all the ears out on a table here of basically the most susceptible ears and the most resistant ears. So this sample here basically represents our tail region from the ears we got back on the F2s. And then here on this slide, we're basically matching up the peak of our F2 plant DNA to the peak of the parent. So in our parent screen, we see the parent 1 and the parent 2. And this is kind of like if you've seen a graph or a gel, this would basically how it would be, how it would line up. But I'm just going to show you in a number format how we're kind of lining them up off of the software output. So, and as you can see here, our F2, if it had a base pair peak of 167, it would be from the parent 2, you know, and down the line. And then basically we assigned a genotype from each base pair peak we've seen to that F2 plant. So, and then if you can see down here, if we had both parent peaks present, we would assign it an AB genotype. So the comparison of these markers, the parents in the next slides I'm going to show after this, I just want to put this up here, talk about it real quick. They're going to be labeled as follow. The resistant donor will always be the BB, the NV14FR is the BB. The AA is going to be our susceptible parent. So, and then when we have an AB, of course, that is our heterozygous where both parent alleles are present. Alrighty. So the first marker I want to talk about, and we're kind of going to hit the three most significant markers I found during this study, is marker UMC 2013, which was found on chromosome 5, position 125. And as we can see here, it looks to be an additive gene effect, as where we see the donor actually coming from the susceptible, which actually wasn't too surprising. It's actually showing in the homozygous state. It's giving me a higher score for my fusarium ear rot. In a heterozygous state, kind of a mid-range score. And then in the BB genotype is giving me the lowest FER score. So real quick, the other two, the marker UMC 1350 on chromosome 6, position 101, was also found to be significant. This looked like a dominant gene. And then lastly, the marker DUP 013 on chromosome 7 was also found to be significant. And this actually looked like recessive gene action, as we see the AA allele right there. Appeared to give us the increase in fusarium ear rot resistance. Okay, one of the things we did at the end of this was there was already QTLs published for, and so basically we went back to literature and we summarized these QTLs that had been found, you know, in the past 7 to 8 years, and so I kind of wanted to list these and point out a few regions here in the genome I think that could be very important for the future. And of course, one here that's interesting to look at is chromosome 5 there. You can see a lot of the bins are kind of lining up. We're starting to get a lot of proof that something's lying in this region of the genome that has to deal with fusarium resistance in maize. So the next one I'd like to point out is in chromosome 6, and I believe this is probably one of the key areas for our trait. We can see three different studies have actually landed a QTL in that bin there on chromosome 6, so including the one from this study. And two more. The one on chromosome 7 you can see was only discovered in this study, and I'll talk about that a little later in the conclusions. And then also there was a kind of a less significant one we've seen on chromosome 8. Alrighty. And remember, in the second part of the study, we needed to identify a new inbred. So first I want to show you the FER data. And you can see at the bottom there, that would basically be our susceptible. And then there's three lines there along with the resistant check that we've chosen. And we actually selected the 0.065, not because, you know, it had decent FER resistance, but also because of the yield data. We gathered in 2007 on this line. We chose that one as it actually did have, if not the same yield performance, and maybe a slightly improved yield performance over our initial NV14 ISO line. All right, general conclusions. A QTL for FER resistance in maize exists at the markers UMC1350 and DUP013. If not the markers, basically the genome, or the, not the genome, but those areas of the genome where those markers lie. A QTL for FER resistance should be explored further at the markers UMC2013, PHI333597, and UMC1665. These are some secondary regions, I think, from the data in this research, and when we compared that or combined it with the other research or some other areas to consider. Combined research data on FER shows strong evidence that genetic FER resistance lies in specific regions on chromosome 5, 6, and 8 for this trait. It looks like we're building a strong case for this in every report that's released. Okay, the QTL on chromosome 7 is possibly maize heterotic group specific. I think this is something we'll find if we basically deal within a heterotic pool. You might find unique QTLs coming out for that maize heterotic pool. So that's something to consider anytime you run a QTL or a QTL identification study. Narrow breeding crosses can be used to predict genome regions that contain QTL while at the same time generate elite cultivars. So I think that's the one take home here, is this wasn't really your standard QTL mapping study or mapping populations, but it did show us some real nice evidence of where these QTLs can be found. So in the future, while we're gathering all of this genetic data, marker data on our lines as we're breeding with them, there may be some real opportunities there to identify QTLs or add to the arguments and the basically what we know already. So mapping QTL with narrow breeding populations will be difficult with limited success, if any success. I couldn't map any of these QTLs, and basically because I didn't have any neighboring markers to associate them to. So that's going to be extremely difficult. I think you could get lucky in certain cases and you might have two markers right there. But really, the odds are against you if you got a real narrow breeding population. Resistance to FER is a highly quantitative trait, and I'll say it again, it's been said 100 times. A robust set of QTL would be required for MAS. I say a robust set, but I think really, in my opinion, you're going to have to apply the certain markers to each heterotic pool as you breed with them. So we're going to have a set and know the different areas, and then we're going to have to look and see, in our population, which areas are polymorphic, or, this heterotic pool, we might have to use one set over another. Of course, now 2 years later, the SNP platform's coming on, so it would be great to run these markers in these QTL regions that we're aware of now, run these SNPs and kind of zero in on a more specific area for FER resistance. So here in the end, I guess selection for your QTL can lead to higher quality seed. It's not biggest breakthrough ever, but it is a slight increase and a real nice little gain there in FER resistance. So with that, I'd also like to thank all these people for helping with this project. And any questions?
We are out
of time.
Thanks, Nate.
I can take that after. So.
Yeah, we can talk later.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
So the next speaker is Julie Hansen.
You want me to click? Mine's popping up different.
Why it looks weird?
Nice talk. Thank you.
Long needed.